The following programming is sponsored by Doreen Taylor Music, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group. What's going on?
Hey, hey, America, what's going on? Welcome to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your host, Doreen Taylor, setting the scene every week to help you find out what's happening in music, TV, movies, sports, the arts, and everything in between. We're proud to be syndicated on stations coast to coast and originating right here in the city of brotherly love on Philadelphia's number one talk radio station, Talk 860 WWDB. Get insider access and go behind the scene on our show's official website, thescenewithdoreen.com, and watch us every week on the nationally syndicated television show, The Daily Flash, available in every major city in the U.S. And it is a new week, and I am really kind of getting sick of this Halloween stuff already. So I'm going to say, boo, Matt. How are you?
Boo. You should be saying bah humbug Halloween, I guess.
Is that boo humbug?
Boo humbug.
I know.
Why? Why are you tired of it?
It's already everywhere. I have a neighbor. It was up, I think it was the first week of August. They have, and it's not just like, you know, a little jack-o'-lantern or a little, they have that thing that's like that 40-foot, whatever that thing is that I'm seeing everywhere now. Those creepy, like, you know, I don't know, they're werewolves. I don't know what they are. Skeleton. And then they have a strobe light. I swear to God, I'm walking around the thing and it scared me so much. First of all, I thought the cops were there. And the second of all, I thought I'd have a seizure because of the strobe. It's just too much. It's too early. It's still, you know, it's still summer. They had it before summer was even over.
It is. It is kind of odd that you start seeing Halloween decorations out right now when you still in shorts and t-shirt.
I know.
A lot of the time. But I mean, I don't mind it. We have Halloween decorate. My wife's birthday's on Halloween. So she has decorations up now. It's her favorite holiday. So I don't mind it. But I could see. I mean, there is actually, driving home every day, there's this one house I go by, and they have one of those, it's a 30 or 40 foot, just a skeleton.
Yes.
But it's been out there since last Halloween.
Oh, no.
And what they do is, I think it's kind of cool.
Oh.
They dress up the skeleton for every holiday that,
like Easter bunny.
Yep, exactly. So they, like, after Halloween this last year, they dress it up for Christmas.
Oh, and then that's just lazy.
Valentine's,
they don't want to get rid of it. I mean, I'll give them credit.
It's creative. I think it's kind of cool.
It is.
Something to see every time you drive by. But I mean, I could see there's, you know, how you could get tired of it right away. It's kind of like kids are out of school in June or something. And then by the end of July, you're seeing back to school stuff.
No, it's always, everything's earlier and earlier. Well, everybody always complains Christmas is earlier and earlier. But now I think because Christmas has been pushed back, really Thanksgiving is gone. And now Halloween is becoming almost as big as Christmas. And that's getting earlier and earlier. And it's really just commerce trying to make more money.
Because they know people will buy it.
They will.
If they put it out there and if they advertise it with some sort of sale, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
People are going to buy it. And if there's new stuff out there, people want to be the first ones to get it.
Yeah. So, but don't you like that holidays are special? It's because they are only here for a little short time. So when you see a Christmas tree, you're like, oh, that's so nice and it's cheerful. But if you saw it all the time, would lose the excitement of it. Like that skeleton, it's not going to be as exciting on Halloween anymore. Now it's the skeleton that's there 365 days a year, and it's, oh, what is it going to be, a leprechaun today or a Easter
bunny? I
think
it was a leprechaun.
See,
once.
I can read their mind, you know.
But you only see this with certain holidays too. You don't see like Easter.
No, nobody puts big bunnies all over their yard.
Yeah, not or it's usually Christmas and Halloween.
And Halloween really wasn't a thing maybe even 10 years ago. It's gotten huge.
It has gotten bigger, yeah.
Yeah, I get catalogs to the house. I mean, there is such a thing as still catalogs that come to the house where they sell an entire, and they're cool stuff. I mean, the technology is becoming really pretty cool.
Yeah,
and
it is.
I wish I liked it more. I'm not a Halloween fan. I'm really not. I decorate, but I do it for fall. I do harvest and more of the Thanksgiving kind of thing. So I do seasonal. I just don't go the, you know, ghouls and goblins and all that kind of stuff.
Are you a candy corn fan?
No.
What?
I've talked about that in the show so many times and I don't mind. Yeah. I'll say it again. Can't stand it. It's like the oh.
That's right. You have said that.
It's the fruitcake of Halloween.
No.
That's
candy
gross.
Corn is good.
It's bad.
I like it.
It's bad. And I don't really like candy anymore at all. I guess I've gotten older. I've liked candy less and less. If I'm going to use my calories, I'm going to use it on something much better than candy.
Yeah, I agree. But candy corn's good.
I don't know. We'll have to fight this one to the death. I'm not going to agree. We agree a lot, but I'm not agreeing about the candy corn.
I'm not going to lose.
But you know what?
Actually, I will. More people don't like it than do like it.
I don't know. But I think the people who do are more outspoken. So it's kind of like, I think you guys will win just because you're obnoxious.
Defend the corn.
More. Yeah. You're gonna shove it down our throats more literally and figuratively. But I think the one thing that we're not going to lose on today, and the thing that we can agree on, is we have a good show.
Absolutely.
We do.
We agree on that all the time.
It has nothing to do with Halloween.
No, not at all.
But I think we should get into it because let's just go.
All right, let's do it.
All right. My guest today on The Scene with Doreen has shattered the glass ceiling in the music industry. Fusing her Indian musical roots with rock, jazz, R&B, and funk, Mohini Day has exploded on the scene as a powerhouse bass guitar player, collaborating with some of the greatest musicians in the world. Her unique, eclectic style of playing has lit the industry on fire, and the flames are only getting hotter. Check it out. Described as the most successful musician by Forbes India, Mohini Day is the only female bassist to rank within the top 10 bassists in the 21st century on Music Radar. Off embarking on a European tour this fall with jazz musician Greg Howe, Mohini is one of the busiest working, fastest rising musicians in the industry, and I am thrilled to have her take a little bit of a break and chat with me today. Welcome to The Scene with Doreen, Mohini. What's going on?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to talk to you.
Oh, my pleasure. And, you know, you have quite an extensive background. You're only, what, 28 now? 29?
28, yeah.
Woo, I don't want to give you any more age and no more years added on there, right?
Okay. I'll always be 16 forever, I know.
So what makes 16 your sweet 16? How is that your sweet spot? How do you like, what's good about 16?
I think it's just funny because when I turned 16, I think I hold a lot of memories at 16. I think that was like a big turning point in my life. A lot of doors were opening, and then all the Indian newspapers, as well as the international agencies and magazines and stuff, and they all started covering a lot of stories on me about my achievements and, you know, things that I was doing. And for like the following, I think about 5 or 6 years, I stayed 16 in their eyes. And so I just think it's so funny. So I'm like, I'll always be 16.
Sweet 16 forever. I would take that. I think that's a good year to be. I like that.
I think we all, you know, should be young.
Yes. Young at heart. It doesn't matter what the number is. It's just how we live and how we think. And you have the heart of, you have the soul of someone much older, the way you play and your experience. But yet you are so young.
Yeah, I think we're all, you know, human beings with very deep sense of understanding. And, you know, our vocabularies are so different and our culture, our foundation make us who we are. And so in that aspect, yeah, we're emotional, we're sensitive, and we are, you know, intellectual and very well informed and aware of certain, you know, things. And we know things and we react. We are very reactive and reflective too, actually, in certain areas. But yeah, you know, as long as you're having fun doing all of those things, then you'll always stay forever, always stay young forever.
Love it. And speaking of young, you picked up the bass 3 years old. By 10, you were already a professional bassist. One of my crazy thoughts is the bass is really huge. It's quite heavy. Was it difficult at such a young age to even control the instrument?
My dad would help me hold it at the age of 3. Obviously, you know, he would keep it on my lap, flat, you know, not like the traditional way I would hold a bass, like, you know, like bass players hold, but he would keep it on my lap, flat, facing upwards. and I would play it like that, you know.
Okay. You know,
you're a tiny baby that time, but after more years went by, I started, you know, taking lessons seriously from my dad. And I think by the age of 7, I was playing the bass like a bass should be played, or rather, maybe not. I was playing the bass a little bit unconventionally too in certain aspects, and that's what got me noticed. Because I was really fascinated by the, the Carnatic rhythms, and really fascinated by how certain instruments could do certain things. And I felt like bass was really unlimited, and I could do literally anything with it. And I started building ways and constructing exercises along with what my dad was showing me, to come up with techniques and style that would, simplify certain rhythms, understanding of those rhythms. And and then I started writing music with those elements and the tools that my dad gave me, as well as the work that I put in by going to certain people in India and just playing with them. You know, one of the most important and vital roles was played by Ranjit Barrett, who I consider as, you know, even now to this date, he's like, I would say, kind of like my second father. He was a big mentor in my life, who introduced me to the Indian music industry alongside my dad. They were really good friends. And I think it was when I was like probably 12 or 13, when my dad took me to his studio called the Nirvana Studio. Ranjit Uncle would make a lot of movie songs and background scores in there. And I just popped in one day with my dad and started playing one of Victor Wooten's songs in 5. And he was just amazed. He took me under his wings, really, from that day onwards. I played a lot of gigs with him, and then he introduced me to the rest of the world. And that's where my journey started, I would say, like, seriously. Yeah, I started gigging at the age of 9-ish, between 9 and 10. And then by the age of 12 or 13, I was playing for movies, jingles, and doing a lot of gigs with Ranjit Uncle. And that led me to Uncle Louis Banks, who is also equally a mentor to me, a jazz pianist. You know, I had never heard anybody play the piano like he did, and learning his songs was a masterclass in itself, you know. So right. Playing with all those people and many more informed and made me who I am today, yes. I would say, you know.
Yes, and you have played on over 100 movie soundtracks, at least now. I think they keep racking up as a session musician. Now, your dad was also a session musician. Now, did the student ever become the master? And did you ever start to take work away from him? I know that, was there ever a competition there at some point?
It happens. I'll give you a little backstory. My dad, he didn't have like a role model growing up in his life. He lost his mom, his own mom, when he was only 6 months old, you know. And then after a couple of years, he had a stepmom that played the mother role in his life, but never could, you know, strike a balance between, you know, the family dynamics, I guess. And so as a result of that, he never really had anyone to show him the path or what's right or what's wrong. He kind of had to figure it out for himself. Mm-hmm. And so as any normal person would, if you don't have experience or guidance, you would make mistakes along the way and you learn from that, right? Mm-hmm. And as a first-time father, and husband to my mom, he had made some mistakes in the journey with us, but at the same time, he had, you know, such great intentions and such unique and very out of the box ideas in a country like India at that time. When he started teaching me how to play the bass, there were no female bass players. There were no. Even female like instrumentalists. And so for him to take on that role and be like, no, I'm going to teach my daughters to be independent and strong, so they never have to be, you know, asking anything from anybody. And I want my girls to be, you know, to break barriers. I want my girls to break barriers. And this whole thing about people saying at that time, like, oh, you know, why are you teaching your girl a masculine instrument? He wanted to prove those people wrong. And I was with my dad in that, you know, mission. Mm-hmm. And we both took it as a challenge, and we both worked towards showing people that it's not a sport. Music is not a sport. It's not about physical strength, you know?
No, it's
about soul and bringing cultures together. And the more you play with different people with different ideas and vocabularies, the more you bring, you know, togetherness. And that is felt through music. One thing my dad and I always talked about is, like, you know, the body leaves the world, but the soul we can still save through music, because you can feel one's soul. Mm-hmm. And you can really feel that person's aura and energy through the creations that they leave behind.
Amen.
And that one stayed with me for a long time. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's such a beautiful thing. Like, art is really magical that way, you know? You're right. After a couple of years when I started gaining international recognition and started, you know, becoming more, I guess, famous, which I never wanted to be, honestly. It was never in my, you know, goals. Actually, music was never in my goals either, which we'll get to in a bit. But what happened is that Dad was trying to live his dream through me. He wanted to do the things that I did. And he saw that happening in real life. And I think he didn't think that I would get to that point and make it so fast and do the things that he wanted to do so quickly. And that was hard for him to accept after a point. And so there were some complex issues between me and him, because at one point I was, you know, the only person in the family working. Mm-hmm. And he was not, because I had taken away a lot of jobs, but I was happy, because it's like, you know, you gotta chill. Like, you just rest. Let me do the work.
Right. And I know you're big about taking care of your family too. I know that was a big part for you, that you wanted to be able to do that for your family.
Yeah, because, you know, growing up, like I said, there were a few things that I did not like that were happening in the house, especially the fights between my mom and dad over money. And it was like, you know, raising a family, and it was just a lot of toxic and violent behavior and conversations going on. So every time I would come back home from school hours, it was a lot of that. And I didn't want to be stuck in that environment. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to leave and lead my life the way I wanted, to create my own rules and support my family, because I knew money was the biggest issue. So in my head, I was like, at 14 or 15, I'm like, I want to move out as soon as possible, and I want to take on that role so my mom never has to ask money from my dad, because she had to give up her career after she had me and my sister.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she was totally dependent on my father for everything,
right,
you know?
Right.
That becomes kind of difficult, because you feel helpless and restless. But also my mom, you know, sacrificed so much for the entire family, and it was only fair that I took care of her, you know, after all the things that she had done for me and my sister and dad.
Right.
As we all know, human beings can be animals sometimes. We're probably worse than animals sometimes.
Yes, that's true. Very true.
In heated up moments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to have been a part of a lot of those traumatic moments. And I was witness to all those moments. And I didn't want to ever see those or feel those or experience or be witness to those things again. And so at the age of 17, between 17 and 18, I moved out after saving up a little bit, and I didn't speak to my father for 3 years because there were some really harsh things said to me by him that were just not necessary.
Mm.
And I wanted to prove to him that I can be successful without him, you know, because he told me I would never be successful.
Well, you proved him wrong. I mean, look at this. You're just beginning. I mean, look at what you've done. And, you know, I want to say, you really are a badass. I mean, are men intimidated by you? Because I know you left. You now live, you know, in the United States. You moved over here.
Yeah.
I know that in traditional Indian culture, it's a patriarchal society. There are definitely, the majority of the power rests with the men. I know that's changing, but it's still there. But, you know, in America, we have our issues too. Are they intimidated by you? Do they treat you differently because you're really doing something that a lot of them can't do? And maybe they're jealous.
At first, yes, I used to feel that because they would try to suppress me or make me feel like I'm less because I'm a woman. And this is like me in the early years, in the initial years of my, you know, coming into the music industry, just starting out. Mm-hmm. But later on, when I started working more and more, I guess I got used to the dynamic, and I was always working with older people, like above 45, 50-year-olds, you know? Mm-hmm. I started thinking like them.
Right.
And I started, that's why I guess I grew up too fast and I became too mature for my age. And I don't know. I felt like, I never felt like they treated me any differently, but I think... I definitely sensed some guy's humor that,
yes.
You know.
That's a nice way to say it, yes.
Yeah, like guy's humor that I, at first I was like, whoa, that's weird, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I tried to diplomatically kind of change that dynamic. Right. And I'm very good at that now. And nobody talks like that anymore, around me at least.
Good.
At least with the people that I have worked with for a long time. Right. And they respect me dearly. You know, they value me dearly. And yeah, I always felt like, you know, that was there at first. But are they intimidated? I'm sure like the first time, you know, the people that meet me for the first time, probably I've heard this. Now, this is something that I've heard. And so I speak only from what I've heard, which is they think from just the pictures and videos that I am like full of myself, or like I am too pretentious and full of attitude and stuff, and she must be very bold and stuff. But then when they meet me, they realize I am so not all of that, you
right,
know,
because right, right.
Yeah, I may talk less. I'm not much of a talker. Like I like to stay in my own space. I do my work very mm-hmm. you know, carefully, and I'm very good at it, and I like to be focused in that element. And sure. When I'm done, I just want to go home because I'm a very homey person, and I'm very dedicated to my art, I'll say that, and I like to do justice to whatever I'm a part of, and that's my main goal always. Yeah, I mean, if people feel intimidated by that, then that's their problem.
That's on them, not on you. Because
yeah.
you're breaking down walls and redefining what a bass player looks and sounds like. When was the first time it hit you that you really are a role model for so many young girls?
Yeah, that always gets me. That every time, like I'll give you an example. Just recently, you know, when I was just last month, actually, when I was until 3 or 4 days ago, when I was touring with Willow Smith, all these gigs that we did, such high energy gigs, such great music, the people in every city were so warm and so loving. And it was so surprising to me because I am still new here, you know, mm-hmm. But the level of musicality and awareness that our people have today in the music world, I have to say, it's moving fast and it's changing really fast, which makes me really happy because they are following some good musicians, you know, like Willow, you know, like other people. I'm not going to take names, but I will take Willow's name because I'm a part of her band right now.
Sure.
But I genuinely love her music and I genuinely love what she's doing right now. And I'm happy to be a part of it by bringing in my element and the things that I'm good at to her music. And I was surprised that a lot of people in the audience, they were calling out my name during her show, you know, and I was like, whoa, you know, that's crazy. Who would have thought, you know, it's like, so people are well informed, like,
sure,
there she is playing bass.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. You stand out, girl. You do. You stand out. You are definitely, you know, making a name for yourself and people do know you.
That's really nice because sometimes I can be, you know, kind of in the box and not like worry about what people are thinking or doing or
that's
what's happening
good too.
Outside in the world.
That's not a bad
you know?
Thing either. Trust me. You don't always need to worry about it. Do your thing. Stay in your lane and what they say around you. It really doesn't matter. But yeah, it's nice sometimes to hear the good stuff that comes in.
Yeah, it's very surprising and fascinating for sure. And all the work, you know, it does come to the fruits. You do see the fruits, you know, which is
right.
Which is really nice and it's touching. And I'm really thankful for each and everyone out there who follow my music and showed so much love to my album as well, you know, that knocked some really interesting doors that I never thought it would have. Because I'm really good at, I think we're all really good at sabotaging ourselves, you know?
That is true. That is very, very true. But I want to take a little pause because I only have you for a short time, but I want to take a break. I'm chatting with the phenomenally gifted bass guitarist Mohini Day. When we come back, we're going to talk more about her process, her technique, and what she has on tap next. So stick around. It's only getting started. We'll be right back.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and do not have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you do not pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call. If you've been injured in an auto accident, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428.
No more mold, no more damage, no more outdated old bathroom, no more slipping and hurting, no more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-827-4067. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-827-4067. Call BCI Bath and Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-827-4067. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-827-4067. 800-827-4067.
Choosing the right insurance company can be complex and confusing. At Leonard O'Neill Insurance Group, we don't just sell you an insurance policy, we sell you a lifetime of peace of mind, service, and satisfaction. A second-generation, family-owned and operated business in South Jersey, we're committed to protecting you and your family. With over 2,000 clients in the tri-state area, we are your local, trusted insurance experts specializing in business, life and health, and personal insurance. Contact Leonard O'Neill Insurance Group today to learn how we can get started on your insurance journey together. Visit www.log-insurance.com or call 856-627-2600.
Welcome back to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your host, Doreen Taylor. And coming out of the break, we heard a clip of my amazingly talented guest today, bass guitarist Mohini Day, slapping the bass on her tune Meat Eater off her solo debut self-titled album. Mohini, the bass has usually been a background instrument as part of the rhythm section, but you have completely brought it out to the forefront as your own entity. Your technique is unbelievably difficult. How much do you practice each day?
Not anymore. Initially, I used to do a lot. Now I feel like all the gigs are kind of my practice days. I used to warm up a lot too before the gigs, but now I just try and get as much sleep as I can because that's what I lack right now. The hopping in and out of different tours and musical settings and projects, it's hard to find time to practice something new, you know? But I'm very careful with the projects I associate myself with. because I only take up the projects that excite me and kind of push the boundaries and are a little outside the box, you know?
Right, right. Now, at 28, you've already collaborated with some of the greatest musicians in the world. Who would you love to work with next? Because I know you've been with Steve Vai. We had Steve Vai on the show a little bit ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So I said,
he's amazing. I love him so much. He's best, yeah.
Oh, what a good soul. You were talking about good soul and people well beyond their years and knowledge and in heart. And he is one of those people as well.
I mean, he's such a great example of what changed the guitar world, you know, for his time, what he did and how, you know, even, and I think all the time, like even now at his age, rocking the way he does on the stage is just incredible. Like if I can do that at that age, wow.
you remind me a lot of his, some of the things when I heard you two playing together on stage and I said, you know, you do match. You're from different cultures, different times, different generations, but yet you really, your souls mesh in such a beautiful way that you speak to each other on a very similar level.
Yeah, there's a lot of respect. There's a lot of value between the two of us, and there's a lot of history too. And it's just amazing that I get to collaborate with these special souls and very interesting artists of different kinds. And I will never take that for granted. I'm very honest to my work and my art. And I think to answer your question, my idols is really who I look up to. And maybe unknowingly, I end up taking that path, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not consciously trying to inspire people or get them to follow my path, because I feel like everybody writes their own story and it's different, you know. It's subjective to their life, you know, really, and foundation and where they come from, who they choose to surround themselves with. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think for me, growing up, I listened to a lot of Jaco Pastorius, who was obviously, you know, the first bass player to change the bass world, you know.
Sure.
Like I said, you know, I think not consciously, but unconsciously, because from where I come, India, culturally so diverse, and my learnings, the fusion of those two worlds set me apart from the other bass players, and unconsciously I am, you know, inspiring people and little kids to, you know, see the world from a different eye, but still choose to design and be on their own driver's seat, you know, and not have to follow what other people are saying, you know, because this is, you know, this is something that we can choose to do and shouldn't have to do under anyone's pressure. Who do I want to play with? It's really, that's a very hard question for me.
You're right. I guess like your children, like who do you pick, and you don't want to single someone out? Or I know it's probably not the easiest question for an artist.
You know, I never wanted to, like all the people that I have on my, you know, bio that I've worked with, they all just kind of happened. I never dreamt of, you know, working with them. Mm-hmm. It all just kind of came to me. And I wanted to work with them after that. And that's why those collaborations happen. Even Willow, you know, her management reached out to me. And I was like, wait, are you sure? I asked her management team, because like you said, like I play bass really up front. And are you sure you want that? Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, we want that. And I was like, oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
And then when I heard her music, I was like, okay, makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that bass is celebrated and is being kept in the band to play such a role that didn't exist before, I would say, you know?
True.
Because, it can solo, it can back, but it can do both. It's part of the rhythm and harmonic rhythm, you know, group. So why not have elements and times to hop in and out of those situations? So I think it's really great that I get to do both those things the way I like to do it. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, I don't feel like I'm restricted to do anything, which is really great, even though I am, you know, the side man. It's really great. I don't know. I'm open to really collaborating with anybody. That's amazing. But it would be great to maybe be a guest artist on like a Dream Theater show or
Oh, very nice.
Or Animals as Leaders, because I'm like kind of in that prog rock zone right now.
Yeah. Well, you got to do the passion projects.
Pop, honestly, in the my first step into the pop world in the U.S. is, you know, Willow.
Right.
But her music from Empathogen is very jazz and pop, you know, you can feel both those elements in her music very strongly. So it, I think on a broad term, it's very pop, but musically speaking, it's very jazz pop, you know. So I would love to just groove too, you know, and, you know, dress up like a diva and just groove in the back. I'm down for that too. So I'm really open, honestly.
That's awesome. Now, you know, you mentioned that about a little bit about being in the forefront and stuff. And a lot of pop artists, they don't want the attention taken away from them. They really don't. So do you ever think that that's ever going to work against you down the road? That you're going to steal attention away from them. You know you are. So do you think they'll ever maybe not want to work with you because of that? Because you're just too good?
You know, I've had a thought about that because people around me told me that most of the time you will lose those opportunities because you're too good or because you have such a strong stage presence that people only want to look at you.
Yep.
So people, those pop stars will never hire you. And I try, when I heard that for the first time, I was like, there may be some truth to that. But at the same time, you know, I want to change that, you know. It was like in the back of my head, like, I want to change that. Maybe there will be a time. And it is that time right now. Like, look at Willow's band, you know. Every person in the band is freaking talented, you know. They're all so talented. They're all so forward, you know. Nobody's like really in the back, honestly. We're all like killing it together. Willow is the you know, she's the curator and she is the person who cherry picked all of us in the band, really. I mean, that thing of jealousy and stuff, I think it's very natural human tendency, you know, but at that level, I don't think it should exist because it should be about the music and not about how you look.
Or ego, or a lot of people with their own ego and having that influence their musical decisions. No, I always said the music should speak for itself. The music should live and breathe.
And that's what I like about Willow's band, because she hasn't dressed us up. Like, if you look at the tour videos, she hasn't dressed us up in, like, really, like, you know, crazy outfits. She said, I want the focus to be music. And I just want us to wear really subtle earth tones. And I want us to look very casual. I want the music to speak for itself. And
that's
I love that. It was perfect situation for me.
I'm chatting with the very talented bass guitarist Mohini Day. And when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation and go even further into depth and wrap it all up. So stick around. You don't want to miss this.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and do not have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney. Call 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428. Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you do not pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call. If you've been injured in an auto accident, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428.
No more mold, no more damage, no more outdated old bathroom, no more slipping and hurting, no more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-827-4067. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-827-4067. Call BCI Bath and Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options.
Call 800-827-4067. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-827-4067. 800-827-4067.
Choosing the right insurance company can be complex and confusing. At Leonard O'Neill Insurance Group, we don't just sell you an insurance policy, we sell you a lifetime of peace of mind, service, and satisfaction. A second-generation, family-owned and operated business in South Jersey, we're committed to protecting you and your family. With over 2,000 clients in the tri-state area, we are your local, trusted insurance experts specializing in business, life and health, and personal insurance. Contact Leonard O'Neill Insurance Group today to learn how we can get started on your insurance journey together. Visit www.log-insurance.com or call 856-627-2600.
Welcome back to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your host, Doreen Taylor, and if you're just tuning in, I have been chatting with the incredible bass guitarist Mohini Day. Coming out of break, that was a little taste of Mohini playing bass on the band Darwin's track, Soul Police, also featuring guitarist Greg Howe, who Mohini is actually teaming up with this fall on his 2024 Lost and Found European Tour. Welcome back, Mohini. You know, we've been talking a lot about music, but you have a varied interest in other things. I know you have an affinity for fashion as well as music. So I want to know, is there a Mohini Day fashion line in the works?
Yeah, there is.
Really? I kind of knew that could be brewing.
Yeah. It's going to take a little bit of time because I'm also working on a couple of other things. I don't know if you saw, but I teased my audience just yesterday with a collaboration that I did with Fab Cables, which is basically my signature model cables, Speakon cables, USB cables, TRS, stereo cables, all of that. Let me show you. See that?
Yes.
A logo in there, and we have like some fun colors.
Love it.
So that's something we're going to launch this month. Mm-hmm. And I'm also, this is the first time I'm announcing it, actually. I'm working on my signature straps.
Ooh.
And then we have signature strings coming out. So a lot of things in the making that are going to be launched in the next few months. I'm really excited about that. And the fashion thing, it will happen, but I think I want to prioritize the strings, the straps, the cables first, and then maybe towards the end of the year, we will drop the fashion line.
That's awesome. Now, how would you describe your style? If you're going to put out a line, what would be your signature? What would be your thing to make your line uniquely you?
I really like playing with different fabrics, like denims. Mm-hmm. This is my husband's denim that I'm wearing right now. it's his jacket. And I like really like angular shapes, geometric shapes, and I like distressed and torn things. So I like just fusing, you know, different, I guess with music too. My music is so fusion. My fashion is very fusion too. And I like doing that. I love mixing different prints, colors, fabrics, textures. And I think that's what is going to be my fashion line, like very out of the box, very not very casual. Maybe my casual is not everybody's casual. I would put it like that. Mm-hmm. Like, this is my casual. This is how I go out usually. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I like to display my stylistic, you know, fashion abilities. And I just love it. I think it's an art form. And I like to show that, you know, this is part of my personality. And this is what comes with my music, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not just the music. My look is also part of the performance, you know.
Sure.
And again, that's very like subjective from person to person. But with me, I enjoy doing it. And that's why I like to, because fashion was something that I wanted to pursue as a profession, even before music.
Mm-hmm.
And so any way I can incorporate that with my music, I just love it. Because in the initial years of my performing days, I used to cut up my mom's saris and just clothes and make my own outfits. And I like to design my own outfits for my photo shoots, for my album cover, for my performances. And I like to wear my own designs, you know?
That's awesome. And what a great way to put it out there. You know, like a lot of people will design stuff, but it takes a lot of effort to get it out into the public eye. You're on stage wearing your creations so everyone can see it. It's like a walking billboard. It's perfect.
Yeah, people love it. People see it and they ask me, where do you get it from? I was like, you can't get it anywhere. This is my creation.
Oh, I love it. Now you're going to have a thing where like an app where they'll like put a photo on you and be able to click on your jacket or click on your pants and be able to order it as you're on stage.
Man, that's a great idea. I'm allowed to say
No, it's all right. It's all right. I like that. I think I got to work for you. I think we got to team up here, girl.
Yeah. This is amazing. I'm writing that down.
No, that's good. I did want to say you're wearing your husband's jacket. And I want to mention and give a shout out to your husband, Mark. He is quite an accomplished jazz saxophonist as well.
He is. He's the best person. He's the best guy that I ever met. You know, like he's so not only a talented musician, but also such a great human being mm-hmm. with such a pure heart. And his playing abilities and writing abilities as a director and producer is just like cherry on the top for me as a bass player, you know?
Now, how did you guys meet?
We met at a music festival in 2017, and we were playing in two different bands, and he thought I was going to play in his band in that festival, but I was playing in a different band. He was a little bummed about that because he had written some really cool bass parts, and he was the MD for that thing mm-hmm. that was... I guess the host MD, I would put it, for that band. He was bummed because I wasn't playing in the band and there was some other bass player. And the other bass player, I guess, didn't do a very good job. And we talked about it after our gigs were over. We had this like nice lounging space at the hotel that we were staying in, and we just went on talking for just many, many hours, and it was just amazing. We were friends. We stayed friends for like the first 4 years, I would say, 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. And after those 4 years, we started dating. It was like, I think mid-pandemic or end of pandemic, and we started dating over video call.
Oh, yeah, that made it challenging. It made things sometimes better, but it also made other things much more difficult.
Yeah, but it was really good because we both saw each other's life so clearly, because he had seen me in a relationship with another guy and I had seen him in a relationship with another girl. And so we both saw each other's characteristics very clearly mm-hmm. and we were both super loyal and super like committed type of, you know, people. And it says a lot about one's personality and how you would roll in life, you know.
Yeah.
And there was never a point where we were both single until that pandemic moment when we were both single mm-hmm. but we were in two different countries, so we started dating over, I actually proposed to him.
Oh, good for over, you.
On the phone, mm-hmm. Just like super like in shaky voice and like trying to not jeopardize our friendship because I valued our friendship so much.
Right.
And and he said he had always loved me, but didn't want to, you know, make it weird or anything because he also didn't want to jeopardize our friendship. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was a long time. You know, you're friends and you value that person so much. You don't want to mess that beautiful relationship up, you know. Right. Sometimes it can be tricky, but in our case, it worked out perfectly because within like 4 or 5 months, we got engaged. Mm-hmm. I went to Chicago. He came to India. We got engaged in Mumbai in the presence of my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And then after like a month or two, we got married just in the court, you know.
Right.
We didn't want to have like a huge wedding because it was pandemic. And really, honestly, we both are very chill like that. We just want to put our energies in another direction and not waste in like a, you know, pulling off like a huge Indian wedding.
Oh,
you know,
they are crazy.
Much money is, yeah. You know, spend. And yeah, we didn't want to do that. Maybe one day we will have like we did have like a small party with like 15, 20 people and that was perfect. Right. But, you know, there's always time for doing those things. If you want to get married in every way, like you can have like a Christian wedding, you can have like a Bengali wedding, mm-hmm. you can have a Muslim wedding, just for the two of you, you know,
right.
do it anytime. So
I like yeah. that. Make it intimate yeah. for the two of you, because that's really what it's about. It's just the two of you coming together.
Exactly.
And then you want to do one in 5-10 years, you have everybody on the planet and you do whatever
exactly.
you
have
want.
Have it on your 5th yep. anniversary, have it on your 10th anniversary, 15th, yep. then go on, you know.
No, that's good. Now, you go both on the road a lot, I'm assuming. Now, how does that work in a newlywed relationship? I mean, I know you were just on the road with Willow, and I know that you're going back on the road, a European tour. You're going to be over in Europe. How do you coordinate your schedules as a young married couple?
I think like everybody else, we try our best, obviously. You know, there is no perfect medicine or solution to having a perfect marriage or anything. It's always work in progress, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes marriage so beautiful. There are ups and downs. We miss each other a lot, obviously, because we're apart most of the time. But he does his best to come visit me on road when he can. And then I, you know, come home when I can, or meet him halfway where he is in any part of the world, you know.
Yeah.
So we fly in and out a lot of each other's locations. And it works, you know. And we have, you know, different studios even in our own house. Like he has his own working studio, I have my own working space, you know.
Yeah.
And we always knew that that would be like the best thing for the two of us, because we're both so involved and both so alpha, you know, and so musically opinionated. We knew that we need to give each other that space so we can work independently, individually, and then come together and make music together when we want to, and make music together also when we want to. But it allows each other time to miss each other, and then when we come together, it's like so beautiful. You
yes.
know?
Well, you didn't have the gig in 2017, but you got something better. You got the guy. So there you
yeah.
go. You got the better lucky. Prize. Yes.
Very lucky.
Gigs yeah. come and go, but a good guy, that'll stay forever.
He's the best. He's the best.
That's good. And congratulations. Best. You're pretty much a newlywed, so I do want to say congratulations to you guys.
Is 4 years still newlywed?
I think so. And most times, I honestly believe if you can make it that long, maybe you're not. Maybe in this day and age, that's like old married couple by now, right?
Yeah, you know, so much has happened. Like, I lost my father a few months ago.
Yeah, so sorry about that. I heard about that.
Yeah, and then, like, just so much has happened. Like, we moved countries, you know? It's, like, crazy.
Yeah.
But despite all the big changes and dynamics, I think, yeah. If you can survive those big changes, I think as a couple, yeah, then you can make it.
The rest is easy after all that.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say, what is next on tap for Mohini Day?
Well, next is I'm still trying to, you know, finish what I'm currently doing, which is the learning process of Greg Howe songs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm learning those songs for the European tour with Greg Howe. That is going to start in October. And then end of November, and then I'm going to Switzerland to finish some pending work that I have with Darwin Project. So that's really exciting. And then after that, I will come back and start preparing for my own set that I have to design for the January tour. But the December first 2 weeks, Mamoji, which is the band that I share with Mark and Gino, my drummer, mm-hmm. we're called Mamoji.
Right.
We have like about 4 shows, I think, in Bahrain, Saudi Arabia. And yeah, so we're going to, you know, basically there's no break. I'm touring for 2 months and then Darwin, and then prepare for Mamoji set, and then prepare for my set. The album shows for January. I have like 5 to 6 gigs in January. And then if I want to go to NAMM, I'm still trying to decide if I want to do that or not. And then, yeah, I don't know. You know, it's that right now. I'm also trying to find time to finish my second album, you know, as soon as possible, because I really want to get that out also. But it's hard to find time because I also want to spend some time with my family. You know,
I know. I'm exhausted just hearing about your schedule. I can't even imagine doing it. I don't know how you keep it all straight, but you do. And you're adding things in all the time. And besides, you didn't even mention that you are coming out with all of these other collaborations with brands. items and putting your name on things on as an ambassador and coming out with your own straps. And so a lot of that is just launching. So you've got a lot on your plate.
Yeah. And then just in 2 days or 3 days, on the 20th, I'm performing with Willow at the Grammy Museum.
Oh, very nice.
That's going to be really fun. So, yeah, lots of things are going on. And this year has just, you know, flew so fast, you know, and it's still flying.
Yes, just like the interview I've had with you, it has flown by. I could talk to you forever, but I think we've exhausted our time here today on The Scene with Doreen because I don't have any more. And I just, you're fascinating. I am only seeing the sky is the limit for you and things are just starting. And it's exciting because I know
that. Thank you so much. I had such a great time.
Oh, I did too. And I got to say, like I said it in the beginning, you're really setting the industry on fire. You're changing the way people perceive an instrument that, like you said, is very, you know, traditionally masculine, and you're adding this whole new flavor and look and sound, and hats off to you because that is just huge. And you are a role model, and just keep going. I want to see more and more and more from you, and I don't have any doubt that I will see it from you.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. And good luck on everything. And say hi to Mark for me.
I will. Thank you. Thank you. Take care. Until next time.
Yes. And next time you have something, please come back on the show.
I will. That sounds great.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Mohini.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. Thank you to my guest today, Mohini Day. And thank you again for tuning in to The Scene with Doreen. I'm here each week across the country bringing you the best interviews from the entertainment world and beyond. Get connected with me on social media and on our official website, thescenewithdoreen.com. And make sure to tune in next week so you can find out what's going on. Bye.